We are going to be looking today at Luke chapter 2. I encourage you to take your copy of the scriptures and to turn there and to spend some time with us in that section of the Word. Three things that I want to point out from this passage, and we're gonna just look quickly at what Luke 2 has to say by way of the reading of the Word, and then we're going to spend some time evaluating what it means. Luke chapter 2, verse 1, very familiar passage. Many of you probably committed it to heart when you were children. Sometimes we as adults need to continue committing it to heart. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this tax was first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, a feeding trough, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you that you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing which had come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherd. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told to them. You know, I've said many times that if I were God, I probably would have chosen this scene a little bit differently. When we traveled last in Israel, it was interesting because all the things that were going on and all the conflict that was happening and everything, it was just beginning to the extent that it is that it's happening now in Israel. And you could set your clocks by CNN. 3 o'clock in the afternoon is about 9 o'clock in the morning here. And so at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you'd be out on the street going someplace in a bus. You'd see a bunch of young people, anywhere from 10 years old up to 18 years old, standing around, just some of them, you know, just playing games together, standing around on the street doing nothing really special. But about 2:58, they all stopped what they were doing and they'd go and they'd start gathering up rocks. And they'd pick up sticks and anything that they could find and put them in their pockets and have them ready. And at 3 o'clock on the sharp, sure enough, CNN's teams would be rolling up and start shooting pictures of what was going on the street. And by that time, these kids were mad as they could possibly be, throwing rocks at anybody that was in the way and trying their hardest to get on international news network. Now, if I were God, I would have leaked to CNN and Fox News and all of those, the king of the world born in Bethlehem. I would have done it today. I would have had all the newsworthy opportunities out there, and I would have proclaimed who Jesus was in such a way that all the world would have come and just had to hear all that there was there. The interesting thing is, I'm not God. And he chose to do it differently. He brought Jesus into this world in a backward time, in a backwater little town, in a know-nothing, know-nothing-of little country in the Middle East. A country that had seen nothing but conflict literally for all of its existence. Very little time was that country living in peace. Most of the time, this country lived in all kinds of conflict with people without and within, trying to take away that which God was trying to give to them. And if I were God, I would have done it differently. But God chose to use the foolishness of this world to bring wisdom personified into the world. Three things come out of this story to me. You all know it. I'm not going to tell you anything new here today that you don't already know in terms of the story, but there are three key words that you can define this story by. The first is a surprise. Look in verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. These guys were sitting out there in the country, and they were just, if you've been to the shepherd's field, it's just a little hillside field where there's a bunch of caves, and they were probably sitting in front of the caves watching their sheep, making sure that everything was okay. But it was dark. It was just probably pitch black by that time. We have all these wonderful images of the nativity. You know, there's this nice clean hay that Jesus was laid in, and this beautiful little kind of lean-to shack that served as a barn and everything like that. These guys stood out on the side of a muddy hillside with a little bit of grass and a cave that they lived in, and these guys were watching over their flocks that night. It was hot, it was muggy, it was probably clear overhead, and it was probably just as dark as it could possibly be. And suddenly, there was an angel standing before them, and he proclaims to them that Jesus is born, and then with them, a multitude of the heavenly host, literally lighting up the sky. As we were traveling home the other night, we were coming into Nashville, and it had just gotten pretty dark by that time. And it was interesting to me that 5 miles outside of Nashville, I could still see the glow of Nashville's lights. And when you come into Chattanooga and then get through Chattanooga and start moving towards Atlanta, before you ever leave that area, you can see the glow of Atlanta. Bethlehem was just a small town. Somewhere between 300 and 700 people lived in that town. I think closer to 300 people in this little bitty town called Bethlehem. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be laying in your bed at night? There aren't any shades on the windows. They don't exist. You're laying in your bed at night, and the window suddenly just lights up with a heavenly light. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be one of the shepherds on the hillside? And you're hearing this news from this angel, and all of a sudden, there are more angels than you can possibly count, and they themselves are literally lighting up the sky with the light of God. They were surprised. They were surprised because out of the darkness of their life, God was bringing light. You see, what we oftentimes miss is the very first proclamation of Jesus as the light happened right here. The angels came and they proclaimed that Jesus was born, and they lit up the night sky with the truth of who he was. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's what the Bible says. But Jesus says, I am the light of the world. You never have to walk in darkness any longer if you just trust in the light of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but that's exciting to me. I've gotten to the age where walking in the darkness ain't fun anymore. You know, I'm at the point where I can't see things quite as well as I usually do or I used to be able to. And if I go walking in the darkness, I come out scarred. And it's the same way with every one of us who wants to live our life in the darkness. No matter what we do, we come out scarred. Because we can't see the things that are happening to us in that dark. And Jesus came to be the light of the world. And he proclaimed it first by his proclamation right here that he was born. The second thing that Jesus gives us, or that the word gives us here by way of application, is that they brought a sign. They were given a sign of who Jesus Christ was. Look at verse 12. Drop back to verse 11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. The interesting thing is a couple of things. First of all, the whole concept of swaddling clothes wasn't necessarily unique. A swaddling cloth was a square type of a cloth that diagonally off of that, they had a wrap, a long piece that came off of it, and they would wrap the baby in the square part and then use it to kind of mummify him up to his head so the baby wouldn't squirm a whole lot, and they just kind of made a papoose type of a wrap around the baby with the swaddling cloth. What was unique to this statement wasn't that he was wrapped in swaddling clothes, but that he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and he was lying in a cow's trough. I don't know about you, but when my son was born, when my daughter was born, I didn't go get the wraps and everything and all the clothing from the hospital, cover the baby up, put the little sock on their head, and then take them and try to find a cow's trough to put them in. Most of the babies that were born in Bethlehem at that time were lying in their own bed or on their own bed of hay that their parents had made in the house for them. But Jesus came as a sign, and the sign there was to say, there's no room for me in this world. There is no room for me for what I am about to do, because I am coming to give something that this world needs but doesn't want. It indicates the depths to which the Son was willing to stoop in love for us. The third thing I want to point out about this is that the word sign here is not just an identifying mark. It has significance in itself. It's saying that the very instance, the very issue here that is being given to these shepherds is that I am giving you something very special for you to see. It has significance. And the significance is the sign of the manger. Jesus left all of heaven to come to this cesspool we call earth and to come to some little backwater town, be born in a cave and laid in a cow's trough. That's a sign. All of the stories about kings and all of the stories about princesses and princes and their greatness and how they're born and everything like that, all is surrounded with pomp and circumstance. And yet the King of the universe stooped out of love for us to come here and to be laid in a cow's trough, to be laid someplace where the food for the sheep and the cows was put. Spurgeon has said, this sign of the manger is something that makes Jesus approachable. Therefore, we might tremble to approach a throne, but we don't fear to approach a manger. You see, Jesus came as a sign for us. He was laid in a manger as a sign for us to say, I'm coming to be a part of you. I'm coming to live here and to live in your life, and to be with you and to be a part of what you are. Micah 5:2 is an Old Testament sign of Jesus. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the houses, thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from old and from everlasting. Isaiah 53:2-3 says, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness when we see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. Jesus came and was born and laid in a manger to live among us, not to rule over us only. He wanted first to be our brother, then to be our king. He proved that by the way he lived. He came proclaiming his kingdom that was to come. But he recognized that he was going to live first among us and be our brother. Not that we are equals, because he is also our Lord. He is also our rabbi, our master. But he was just like us. There was nothing about him that should attract us to him. He wasn't one of the beautiful people. He was a sign himself that he was going to live with us. The final part of this outline is that we have a story. Not only do we have a surprise, not only do we have a sign, but verses 17 and 18, on through the end of the chapter, say, "Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen and was told to them." This begins the story, but it doesn't end there. Later on in this chapter, they meet Anna. Then they meet Simeon. And then from there, Jesus goes to Jerusalem, and he spends time in Jerusalem and as a 12-year-old, and he tells the rabbis there about himself, teaches them from the Old Testament. And then he grows in stature with man, and he grows in favor with man. And he becomes a man himself, and eventually he begins to tell the story to others. And soon, all people in that part of the country knew the story of who Jesus was. Not all of them believed it, but they all knew it. The good news about Jesus is something that needs to be shared, and we need to be sharing it for him. See, because he came first as a sign, and then to tell the story, but then he commissioned us to bring that story to the rest of the world. The best people to share the story of who Jesus is are ordinary folk who had a personal experience with him. You may not know everything, but if God has unexpectedly broken into your life, you have to share him. This last week, while we were out in Lincoln, my nephew came to me. He's a young man that wanted us to believe that he was a believer so that he could marry my niece. And then about a year and a half ago, they began to have some difficulty in their life. And part of that came out of the fact that he was not a believer, nor did he understand Christianity at all. He's the kind of a young man that has to have an answer for everything. But God has been using a group of people in the church where they are attending. It's a small group, a growth group like what we have here. And that group of people have surrounded them and loved them and cared for them and spent time with them. And even the first week that they were in their group together, they were getting ready to move the very next week. And the very next week, all the guys from the growth group showed up and helped them move unannounced. They didn't know that this was happening. And these kinds of actions kept touching Brian's life. One Thursday night, a group, they got to discussing some truths about the Scripture, miraculous truths. And Brian kept saying, "How can you know that this is true? How can you know that this is true?" And finally, the growth group leader just turned to him and said, "You know, Brian, there are a lot of things that we can say to try to prove these things, but some things we just have to take by faith that God is God, and he is who he says he is." The next day, Brian went out to run. He's one of these young men who's in very excellent condition, and he was out running, and he took his tape recorder along, and in it was a Michael W. Smith CD with a song that basically hit on that kind of a theme. And as he was listening to the song, the Holy Spirit got a hold of his life. And to hear Brian talk about it, he came to me and he said, I got to tell you this. I got to show you what happened to me. He said, I couldn't run another step. I've never had this happen to me. I just ended up on my knees in the middle of the street. In the middle of the street. And he said, I was sobbing and I was praying and I was asking God to forgive my sins and I was asking God to change my life. And for minutes there, for 10 minutes, he sat on his knees in the middle of the street. He said, the incredible thing was usually there's a half a dozen cars drive up and down that street at that time. Not one car came. His dog that was running with him didn't come up and bother him like she usually does when he's down on his knees where he's in a playful position. He just sat there and he prayed and he cried. Then he got up, he went back home, he told his wife what had happened. Now, there are a lot of people out there that go and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Why do I believe that this is significant? Two things. Number one, we all can see in Brian a changed life. Jesus Christ brings a changed life. And he brings a changed life not so that we can be better. He brings a changed life for the second reason, so that we can share him. Brian had to tell me what had happened to him. Brian had to say, I got to tell you what happened the other day. If it's a changed life, we want people to know. When we get better from an illness, we want people to know. When we turn a corner in our life in a major way, we want people to know. And this is what happened to Brian. His life was changed through Jesus Christ, and now he had to proclaim it. The best people to proclaim the story of Jesus Christ are people like you and people like me. God did not bring the great into this world to proclaim him. I don't really get excited when celebrities come to know Jesus Christ, because I know that celebrities are human. And someday they will fall and everybody will jump on that as much as they jumped on the fact that he was a Christian. I get excited when people have their lives changed and then are compelled to proclaim who he is. So in the Christmas story, we see a surprise and a sign and a story that we are to always proclaim. The verse in the last song that we sang together says, O holy child of Bethlehem, descend on us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings swell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Why do we live in this day? Why has God placed us here? And what is the significance of the Christmas season for us? It is for us to be able to proclaim that Jesus came and that Jesus died and that Jesus rose again. For me, for you, and for those that you share him with. Don't miss that opportunity this Christmas. Don't miss the chance that you have to change a life and then to let that life begin to change other lives as they proclaim him. Celebrate him in such a way that people are compelled to ask us what's different.